Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here together and to worship again. It's a little chillier this morning. Doesn't feel quite like the beginning of June, but we're going to enjoy a cool service in here together. For a message this morning, I'd like to think about the place of honor. The place of honor. And why did I start thinking about this? Well, it didn't begin with Memorial Day, with what's happening tomorrow, but it did kind of cement it in my mind as I started thinking about the events of the next week and what it would hold. And I started thinking about Memorial Day, and someone asked me, should we observe Memorial Day or shouldn't we? Good question. And so I wanted to think about the subject of honor this morning. Just using the illustration of Memorial Day for a little bit here at the outstart, where did it come from? And you know, we're really not sure. Many places, many people have laid claim to be the first to have observed the day, Memorial Day. Nearly all of them started somewhere either during or after the Civil War, when so many people in this country were being killed because they were fighting for a cause against each other, and their loved ones wanted to honor them, and so they started going back to their graves and placing flowers at their graves and having parades and those kind of things, even before the war had ended, had started. And one of the places that says that they started the holiday is Bowlesburg up near State College. They claim they started the holiday. But there's about a dozen other places, if you look it up, that claim that they started the holiday. And I thought about the area down in Washington, across the river from Washington, D.C. I was only there one time. Some of you have probably been there more than that. But there's 639 acres, very valuable land in that area because of all the industry and everything that happens, all the politics that happen around there. But there's 639 acres set aside for special purpose, and that is simply to bury people. Not just anybody, but they want to bury the people that United States wishes to honor. And that is those who have fought for the cause of United States. Actually, the land initially was land that would have been willed to, I believe it was General Lee, but he left and went. It was a large estate. He left and joined the South and became a general. And one of the reasons they started burying people back there on his ground again was to disgrace him. But later on, it became a cemetery where they bury people. Now over 400,000 people who served in wars have been buried there. And included at this site is a special tomb. And that's the reason I even started thinking about this morning, was there's a tomb there called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Well, it's actually not even officially named, but there's remains of people from different wars represented there who they don't know who they were. They can't put a name on their tombstone, so they put them at that grave. And they guard it day and night, 365 days a year. There's people there guarding that tomb, and they have strict rules to follow. When they walk up and down past the grave, when they change the guard out, when they hand it off to the next guard, exact amount of steps that they have to step, and certain things they follow. In fact, most of the soldiers who would come from the army that apply for the position, most of them are rejected. Like only 20% do they accept that they fit the standard that they wish to have. And there's very much discipline and resources put into it. And why would a country do that? Well, the country wishes to honor somebody. The country wishes to honor a cause, wishes to honor something. United States wishes to honor those who have served this country, especially those who've laid down their life for the cause. And so that's why they do this. And I'd like to think about honor this morning. What is honor? Should it be a part of our life? Whom should we honor and why? And look at some different instances of how we can express honor in our life in a godly way. The Webster's definition has the thought of respect, or hold in high regard. And when I looked up honor which in the Old English is spelled H-O-N-O-U-R instead of O-R, that U was dropped somewhere along the way. That's how it is in our Bibles. But it gives the definition more of, well, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it says value. You value something. If you honor it, you value it. You place a value on it. And it also has a context of like a weight, like in a scales. You put more weight on something. You honor something, you give it more weight. It also has the thought of honor being an ornament, being something that you wear in Hebrew. In the New Testament, honor is often used as a value. You put a value on it, or a price. It's also even translated price instead of honor. Or like a money paid, like it has a value to you. That's honor. So who does the world honor? What does the world honor? Is there anyone in the audience want to give a suggestion? Anybody, what does the world honor? What's important to people today? Maybe not to you.
Financial success.
Financial success, especially in your 30s and 40s, right? Steve.
Prestige and position.
Fame. People want to be famous. They want to be a YouTuber that everybody watches, or an influencer on Instagram or wherever. You know, that's important to people. That's kind of a new thing. They want to be a president. They want to be a president so bad they'll even run when they're old. Anything else that people honor or hold in high regard? How about gifts or abilities? If someone is good at something, really good at it. How about if someone is smart? Maybe they're an inventor, and he was really smart. And those are the stories we read about, Thomas Edison or different people like that, because they were smart, and they disciplined themselves to focus on something and get it done. And these are things that we want to honor. Accomplishments, education. Well, under accomplishments, I had Guinness World Book of Records. Some people want to be in that Guinness World Book of Records. They got something done. Maybe your intellectual ability. You want to be able to measure how smart you are with an IQ test. You want to rank really high. Power. People honor power. They want to be the most powerful, the strongest, the ability. I like to think about a number of points on honor this morning. And I can't think about honor without thinking about the story of Haman and Mordecai. And I'm not going to turn there. But you remember, these two men were in a power struggle. They both... Well, I'm never quite sure where to put Mordecai, but for sure Haman wanted to be thought of... He wanted to be next to the king. He wouldn't mind being the king, I don't think, either. But he wanted to be as high as possible. And he couldn't stand anybody that didn't like him. And he insisted that everybody would bow to him when he came by. Everybody bowed to Haman. He wanted that honor in his life. But there was Mordecai, and he refused to bow. And sometimes I thought, well, maybe it was because he was jealous of Haman, but maybe it was because he only wanted to bow to God and not another man. But you remember that striking turn of events, that night when the king couldn't sleep, and he asked the people to come read him something. Just read me something so I fall asleep. So they came and started reading him records that he had. And instead of being boring, they read the story of how Mordecai had saved the king's life from someone that wanted to kill him. And so the king said, how can I honor this man? Did he ever receive any honor? Well, no, he didn't. He never received any recognition. And so he's thinking about this and thinking about this, and I don't know if he ever really did sleep, because Haman came early in the morning to talk to him about how to get rid of Mordecai. And when he got there, Haman was the first one to come in. And instead of Haman getting his request in to say, hey, may I kill Mordecai, the king said, I want to honor somebody. What should I do to honor somebody? And there's Haman, and he's thinking, who who could the king want to honor besides me? I'm next to the king. Well, let's, why don't you have him lead him around the city saying, this shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Put him on your horse, dress him in your clothes, give him everything. And then put the person that's next to you in the kingdom to lead him around. And it was Mordecai. Take him out there, put him on, lead him around the city. It was so humbling for Haman. What a story. Just an amazing story. An honor is powerful. I want to make the point, first of all, that honor is powerful. It's an expression that comes from our heart, from our soul, from the innermost part of our being, and honor is powerful. And it can be powerful in a godly way, and honor can be powerful it can be a curse, in an ungodly way. And there's many, many stories in the Old Testament of where honor was used as a bribe for people, or as a downfall for people. The second thing that I have here about honor is the things which the world honors are not the things which God wishes to honor. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We can't take our cues from this world, because the things which the world would like to honor are not the things that God wants to honor. In fact, the things that the world wants to honor are an abomination to God. God hates them. So does this matter, what we honor? Yes, it does. If we want to be a part of God's kingdom, we have to be in tune with his plans for us and be ready to honor what he wants us to honor. The third point that I have here this morning is that what we are making our treasure is where we are placing our honor. And where we are placing our honor is where our heart is. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, you need to be careful about your laying up and storing things, because where you lay up and store things, that's what you think about. And what you think about, that's where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's the gate of what you allow in and out of your life. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? So where we are making our treasure is where we are placing our honor. And this shows us the seriousness of honor. What are we honoring? It's what controls our life. Point number four, honoring the wrong thing will keep us from honoring God. Jesus talked about, in John chapter 5, it's actually a couple of verses I want to read there, about the people that, well, they were deciding where they wanted to place Jesus, trying to figure out what to do with him. John chapter 5, it's down near verse 40. Starting at verse 31, Jesus was talking about who he was and where he belonged. Because the Pharisees, they were trying to decide whether he was from God or wasn't from God. They were pretty sure he wasn't. He says, John says that I'm from God. That's in verse 33. And he also says when he was baptized, he's referring to that, that the Father bear witness of him. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. Verse 40, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There was one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Well, I wanted to stop right before that verse. But Jesus is saying here that these people are more concerned about who's honoring who in their hierarchy instead of being concerned about whether or not they are honoring God. He says, you're going to look around and you're going to receive somebody else because you give him honor, but you won't receive me. Why won't you receive me? They were more concerned about their place in society than they were about their standing before God. So if we start to honor the wrong thing, it will keep us from honoring God. And the fifth thing that I have here is that real honor comes from God. Real honor comes from God. Psalm 91, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Real honor comes from God. God is saying here that if we call upon him when we are in trouble, that he will honor us. Did you know that God honors us? You know, we can get God's honor, God's respect, God's value placed on us. That was one of the most amazing things that I thought about as I studied this subject. We think we're just little here. We're nobodies. But when we turn our affection to God, God turns his affection to us. And God honors us. John chapter 12. There's actually a number of verses in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Psalms, that talk about that. And I'm going to read a few more of them a little later on. John chapter 12 talks about this as well. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it under eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Interesting that God would honor us. What's the backdrop? What does it take to have God honor us? Well, it's right here in these verses. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It takes serving God, and then God will honor us. It takes us being willing to die to ourselves and turn to him. It takes obedience for God to honor us. So how can we obey God? How can we serve God? How can we be obedient to God? And I like to look at a number of different ways that we can honor God. How can we honor God? The first part was on how some points about honor, but now I like to think more specifically, who or what does God want us to honor, and how can we do this? First of all, we must honor God. We must honor God. And the scriptures are full of verses like this. And I'm just going to read a number of them to you instead of having you turn to them. But Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've had songs written about things like that. Give God glory. Give God honor. Worship him. And Marcus brought that out in our devotional this morning, that we would think about nature. Think about the things that God made. And that something wells up in our heart when we do that. As we think about God, it causes us to honor and magnify him. And if we only sit there and think about ourselves, we start to think about how and what and who, and attention starts to turn inward. No, let's turn our attention outward. Psalm 34, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is what God wants us to do. Magnify the Lord, lift up the Lord. And we do that with our lips. We've done that in our song. Appreciated that song that was picked there at the end. It went right with the message of exalting God, lifting up God. And we also do this with our life. We'll look at that a little more later. Psalm 57 and verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalm 71, verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thine honor all the day. This has been mankind throughout all the ages. Those that turned to God lifted their mouth and praised God. Are we quick to thank the Lord when something goes well for us? Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. The counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Are we praising God? We're giving him the credit. Are we claiming him? Are we saying, this God is my God, and I'm going to serve him? And also, Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We're going to honor God when life is complete and done. Also in Revelation, it talks about how every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So everyone on this earth will honor God at some point in their life. It's just for some, it's too late to make a difference. You remember Eli the priest, the wicked priest whom Samuel, the man who did not train his sons, who died a horrible death, fell over backwards and broke his neck. This is what God had to say to him before he died. Wherefore the Lord God of hosts, Lord God of Israel, saith, I said indeed that my house and the house of my father, of thy father, should walk before my eyes forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. People that honor God, God will honor. God wants us to honor him, and people that do not will be lightly esteemed. In fact, he promised it would be forever, but it was cut off. He could have been included in that, but he didn't teach his family. Number two, who or what does God want us to honor? If you go back to the Ten Commandments, the word honor is used. And what is it used in the context of? Maybe I should get one of the children to tell me this answer. Honor what? Honor who?
Honor your parents.
That's right. Honor thy father and thy mother. In the Ten Commandments, God has promised long life to children who honor their parents. For it shall be well with thee, and thy days shall be long upon the earth. Also in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen to what your mother and father have to say. It's important. Does it matter when you're 30? Sure, it still matters. It still is important that we listen to what our parents have to say. Proverbs 23, verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Also Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. What a word picture. He's saying, children that don't listen on their parents, that don't obey their parents, that don't honor and respect their parents, the birds are going to come along and poke your eyes out. You ever notice a dead animal? It's one of the first things that they poke at, their eyes. What he's saying is you're going to meet a very untimely end if you do not respect your parents. It's important that you do that. Well, I understand that the children don't understand that very well, but you will. But that is part of the Ten Commandments. Number three, we need to honor the aged. There's a number of verses in the Old Testament that talk about that. And I'll just read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And maybe that is a practice that we should still practice. I don't know. He says they were supposed to rise up before the hoary head. And I believe that meant they were supposed to show respect when they entered the room. They would show respect to the elderly. Show respect to those with more experience than yourself. Really, between God, in God's eyes, between you and the old person, there is no difference. We're all a soul, and we're all equally important to God. But as people living on this earth, we need to show respect to people older than ourselves, not because they are smarter or brighter or because that they can learn faster than us? No. But because they have more experience. They've been around the sun a few more times. They've been in these situations before. They've had to make choices. And so we need to be careful that we respect people that honor these things so we don't make the same mistakes that they make. And many points of wisdom that they give us is because of experiences they've been through and choices that they made for the wrong, and they learned well. And choices that they made for the right, and they were blessed by it. And they'd like to pass that on to us. So let's respect those that are older. What else do we need to honor? Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to read a couple of verses here. I wanted to give this one first. I wasn't sure if I should go chronologically or how I should go with these points here, but Proverbs chapter 3, the fourth point that I have is that we need to honor wisdom and knowledge. We need to honor wisdom and knowledge. And this isn't necessarily education, lifting up education or going to college or getting a bachelor's degree in something. It's not necessarily, it may include that, but it's not necessarily limited to that. I'm in the wrong book. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. And I'll read down to verse 20. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. And so he's saying here that we need to lift up wisdom and knowledge, because God used wisdom and knowledge to create this world. It's been here since the very beginning. And through understanding wisdom and knowledge, we can understand God. And as we learn these things and understand these things and apply them to our life, we can live longer. And it is true that people are living longer today than they were 100 years ago. And part of it is because people have applied themselves to learn everything they could about life and how they can fix problems and passed it on to the next generation. And people have applied themselves to it, and it has been a benefit to mankind. And it can be a benefit to us as well. It is a benefit to us as well. But through honoring wisdom and knowledge, we live longer, and we live a better life, a more godly life, a purer life. And there's many verses here about people that don't, and where they end up, the fool, and where he ends up. But let's honor wisdom and knowledge. And wisdom is knowing how to put knowledge to life, put to use practically in our life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. We need to be humble and fear God, and these things will come to us. What else? Who else? Who or what else does God want us to honor? Number 5, we need to honor each other. And I warned earlier about people honoring people over God. We're not talking about that, where we have respected persons and create a pecking order, put people higher or lower on the totem pole and decide who's important or not important. That's not the honor that God wants to have one for another. But Romans chapter 12, verse 10 talks about the honor that he does want us to have. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We need to put each other first. It's the golden rule. You ever notice that some people are almost always first place in line? You ever notice that? Pay attention to places where people have to line up. Some people are almost always first, and there's other people that are almost always last. And I think it is partly because of where people have learned to place themselves and place other people in their lives. In James 2, I don't know if I can read those verses either because of time, but in James 2, the first couple verses, he talks about us having respect to persons. And that is holding someone high in regard because of their wealth or social status, but we treat other people like nobodies, like pawns, because they can't do anything for us. And that's not to be the life of the Christian. How else do we need to honor each other? 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. So he says, don't rebuke the elder, but entreat him as a father. Ask him questions. Engage in conversation. Don't go there trying to set the old man straight, but rather take your time and be patient if there's a problem. Don't rebuke the elder, but entreat him as a father. And treat the young men as brethren. Don't treat them as nobodies, as little people. Talk down to them. Treat the young men as brethren. Treat them as equals. Verse 2 says, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Treat each other. We need to treat each other with respect. In other words, we honor each other. It's also a good place to mention 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And that actually means give value to your wife. Make your wife worth something to you. Treat her with respect, more valuable than the things that you have. Because we are heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, we help each other get to heaven. That's why your wife is more important than the car, or than the business, or than the work, or than anything else in your life besides God. Let's remember to put value on our wife and on our family. We need to honor each other. Wasn't sure where to put this one, but I'll just mention it here as well. Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor. She keeps honor because she's gracious. Number 6. We need to honor those who care for our spiritual well-being. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He says, honor those that care for your spiritual well-being, those that labor among you and are over you. And it's referring to the ministry. It's referring to your teachers. It's referring to your parents. It's referring to anybody that is looking out for your spiritual well-being. We need to honor those people in our life. That way, when they come to us, we're ready to hear them. If we don't honor them, when they come, we'll say, well, that's just what he thinks. We're not honoring them. That's why we feel that way. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, the same chapter. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And that also applies to everybody. But here he specifically says, if you hear something bad about the preacher, don't receive it unless it's a couple people saying it, and then do something about it. But people that rule well are worthy of double honor. And Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We all need good role models, heroes in our life to pattern our lives after. So let's honor the people that are good heroes and put our life after them. Because not everybody is worth following. In fact, there's many people that aren't following. And the people on the internet today that have the most followers are not worth following. Not worth following. Are those the people that we are following? Who are we following? I don't know why the devil has to take scriptural concepts and make them into something so ungodly. Why Facebook or all these other places, you know, they'll use terms like followers. Who are your followers? It's not a godly thing. Many of them are not godly at all. I suppose there are some spiritual leaders that have many followers too. But for the most part, that's not what we find. Well, he's a counterfeit. That's why. Number 7, we need to honor the church. And by that I mean we need to honor the body of Christ. And we need to value this body that we have here this morning, each other, more than any other thing. It's where our loyalty needs to be. This is what helps us stay on the right road. We have the Word of God, we have prayer, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have each other. And these are the things that we need to honor. We need to value this assembly. Did we value it enough this morning that we prayed about it before we got here? I hope so. If we didn't, we can for next time. Do we value each other enough that we pray for each other throughout the week when we think about each other? Let's hold each other in high regard. When we hear someone say something bad about our brother, you say, wait a minute, that's my brother. That's my sister. Are you sure it's true? Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says we need to honor each other, think about each other, worship with each other, be with each other, spend time together, and we need to quit staying away. How many services do we miss? Just think about that. Who are we honoring? Did we come here maybe we came here this morning for the wrong reasons too. Maybe we did come here to socialize or to show off or something. And the last point that I have under what does God want us to honor? You know, God wants us to honor ourselves. God wants us to honor ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We need to treat our body with respect. We need to live. We need to treat ourselves in many physical ways. We need to take care of our body because we are God's vessel. And in many ways, we need to honor God with the body that he has given us. And things that we do, things that we say. Coming in here and singing this morning is a good thing. Coming in here and sitting and doing nothing doesn't honor God, doesn't honor ourselves. We can use this vessel in many ways to honor God, both in how we express it and also in how we keep it pure. It says possessing our vessel in sanctification, we keep ourselves pure. We don't allow evil to enter our mind and to enter our heart. We need to honor the body that God has given us and not ruin it with our own lusts. And there's a lot of different ways in that we express honor. I thought about making a list. But orderliness comes from God. And so in many ways, as we keep our lives orderly and disciplined, we respect God. We respect our body. And when we allow ourselves to get in disarray and our life to get in disarray, we're no longer respecting God because God is a God of order. And sometimes we need to know how to draw those lines in our life. We can't go to the other extreme and become proudful of the life that we have, because pride comes from the devil. He's the father of it. So let's possess our vessel unto sanctification and honor. Well, going back to where we started now in closing, should we honor Memorial Day? Does it meet the test? Unfortunately, we cannot honor Memorial Day in the way that this world honors Memorial Day, because they are honoring, I suppose in a sense, they're honoring people that stood for a cause. And there is something, when people are willing to give up anything for a cause, that demands our respect. But the mean with which people use to defend that cause can be right or wrong. And unfortunately, the United States of America has destroyed many innocent lives. And they want us to honor it. And as a Christian, we can't. We cannot honor it. So easily, and I think about this probably every year, so easily Ascension Day or, you know, holy days like that can pass us by. We don't give it much thought. Pentecost, Palm Sunday, or things like that. And yet a day like Memorial Day comes along and we all take off. I know it's because of our culture. But let's be careful that when we give honor or people talk about Memorial Day, that we talk about the people that we wish to honor. And I don't know if you remember, I preached a sermon on Memorial Day many years ago. It's when the Eavies were still here. I read from the Martyr's Mirror that Sunday. I don't know if any of you remember that or not. Probably only half of you were here then. Talked about the people that we should remember. Let's remember to honor God with our lives and honor the people that God wants us to honor. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time this morning that we could spend together around your word, looking into your word and being encouraged thereby. Thank you, Lord, for making it clear and plain to us this morning, for your Holy Spirit that was here with us and helping us to understand the word that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this eternal word that will last on into the future, that we know we can measure our lives by, that when time is gone, that we will still have something that stands against the test of time. Help us, Lord, not to build on the sinking sand, Lord, but help us to build on the rock of your word. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. Pray that you give us strength to face the battles of the week. Pray that you'd help us to be able to fight the battles in the mind, the battles of lust, the battles of greed and pride. Pray that you'd help us to win those before we even go out and face the world. Pray now, Lord, that you would bless those that were not here, those who are traveling, those who are sick or serving elsewhere. Lord, we pray that you bless them where they are. Go with us, make us a blessing to mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.